So Arjuna, having heard that this yoga of equanimity can be attained, can be practiced, naturally wants to know how he can reach it. And so he asks Bhagwan a very beautiful question. How does this man of wisdom present in the world? How does he walk? How does he talk? How does he sit? So he asks about the inner equipment, equanimity or equipoise of the mind of this individual. And then how does he or she present in the world? How do they deal with situations? And last week we had heard that one who gives up all desires arising from the mind. And why do desires arise from the mind? Because of vasanas. And the word vasana, I think in Gujarati, means smell, the foul smell. And so vasana is this foul smell of desire which guides us to selfish direction. There's a very beautiful story. There was this bird and she had a fish in her hand and she was flying to, I guess, go sit in a branch and eat. And as she started flying with the fish, all the other birds attacked her because they wanted the fish. And the fish was surrounded from all sides. And she didn't know what to do. So what she did, she dropped the fish. The bird dropped the fish. And the moment she dropped the fish, the other birds all left her and chased after the fish. So similarly, when we are under the influence of this foul smell of vasanas, our mind, our desires all attack us, pulling us in the direction of the vasana. But the moment you give up the smell of vasana, the negativity, all these desires leave, and that's in your mind becomes still. So that's what we had learned last week. So how does the inner equipment of this wise person function? Today we'll talk about how does the individual talk and how does he sit. So verse number 56. Dukheshvanudvigna manaha. Sukheshu vigatasprihaha. Vitaragabhaya krodhaha. Sthitadhirmuniruchyate. Also, one time we should chant together. That way we get practice of together. Dukheshvanudvignamanaha sukheshu vigatasprihaha vitaragabhaya krodhaha sthitadirmuniruchyate. So, dukheshu means in sorrows. Anudvigna manaha. Mana is the mind. Udvigna means agitated. Anudvigna means not agitated. So in such an individual mind, in sorrow, remains unagitated, does not get disturbed. And sukheshu, and in joys, vigata sprihaha, without any. Spruha means the intense longing. So in sorrows, he is not disturbed. And in joys, he does not develop an intense longing. I must have it. And how can he do that? So Bhagavan says, Vita, having given up three things. Raga, bhaya, krodha. Raga is attachment, bhaya is fear, and krodha is anger. So we'll say, well, there are so many other bad qualities, that we have in our mind. There's a long list if I start making. So why Bhagwan has only picked three, we'll talk about that. So one who has given up raga, attachment, bhaya, fear, and krodha, anger, such a muni means mananshil one, a contemplative sage who has thought it correctly, he's called sthitadhi. Sthita means established in dhi. Dhi means wisdom. So established in wisdom, such a person is called a muni. So, first question is pleasure and pain, joy and sorrow, pleasure and pain. And what we do, we want pleasure. When I'm going home, I say, okay, let me put pleasure in my pocket and take it and put it in my table. But pain, please stay outside my door. Do not come in. But we have to realize that they both come and go. So what we do when joy comes, we welcome it. Welcome, please come, please come, please come. And when it is leaving, don't go, don't go, don't go. And when sorrow comes, don't come, don't come, don't come. And when it comes, don't go, don't. So we are all the time chasing after joys and running away from sorrows. But there is no individual whose life is free of those. Everybody's life, there are joys that will come and there are sorrows that will come. So wise person, when joys come, it's not that he's like has no emotion, doesn't enjoy. Joys come, it's fine. When joy leaves, okay, goodbye. When sorrow comes, he says, okay, let it come. Because it is my prarabdha, it is my destiny, it is because of my karmas. And when joy leaves, he's equally balanced. And he's not under the sway of vasanas. As I said, the smell of vasanas does not involve this individual. He has gone beyond vasanas. And how has he done that? As we had said in the first verse, the one before this, Atmani eva atmana tushtaha. When you are established in your own self, in the joy of your own self, then vasanas can no longer affect you, then joys and sorrows, and you go beyond desires. So when he says kim prabhashet, how does he speak? It means how does this person deal with the world? And he does it, why? By remaining equanimous, equipoise in joy and sorrow. But how can we increase our joy and decrease our sorrow? We all want to do that. So the rishis have a very simple solution, very easy. So why or easy? Yeah, I want to know it. So they say, if you are getting joy in your life, you must have given joy to somebody. If you give joy to somebody, you will get joy. And if you are having a misery in your life, then you have given misery to somebody else. So the world is like a boomerang. Whatever you throw out, comes back to you. So if you want joy, give joy. And you want sorrow, give sorrow. So one has to be very cautious of every karma that I'm performing in this world. Is my karma giving joy to others? Or is my karma giving sorrow? And then that is what you will get. So there is no mystery, there is no partiality. It's not that the Lord sitting somewhere is, you know, looking and, okay, this person I'm going to bless. No, he or she or that Lord is impartial, has created the law of karma, and we are all under the influence of that. In chapter 12, in the description of a devotee, Bhagwan says it very beautifully. Sama shatrau cha mitre cha tatha manap mana yoho shitoshna sukha dukkheshu sama sanga vivarjitaha. So he says, my devotee, a man of wisdom, my devotee, Bhagwan says, he does not say my devotee goes to the temple every Sunday and lights a candle and brings me flowers, brings me fruit. Nowhere in the 12th chapter has Bhagwan mentioned even one time. Not that one shouldn't go to the temple or church, but that alone is not the hallmark of a devotee. So Bhagwan says, my devotee, sama shatrau cha mitre cha. He is the same in those who consider him enemy and those who consider him friend. He loves equally both. He doesn't say, oh, this person considers me friend, so let me, and this person considers me an enemy. He says, let that person do that, but I am the same. Man apamana yoho. If there is somebody praising me or somebody criticizing me, he inside remains unaffected. It's not that he's a stone or a rock, but internally he's not disturbed. Shitoshna, heat and cold, and Sukha Dukheshu, and in joy and sorrow. So he is the same with all people. Intellectually, if there's success or failure, he's balanced. Joy and sorrow, he's balanced. Heat and cold. So heat and cold includes health and ill health. You know, also all the emotions that arise, all the bodily modifications or all the intellectual problems, this person is balanced, remains the same. And when pain comes, what do? Use it as a teacher. Let this pain help me to grow. So whenever there is sorrow, the way I look at sorrow or problem is that we are all in this school of this world to learn. And whenever problem comes, it is a lesson for me to learn. And if I learn from it and I remain calm and equanimous, I have passed the lesson. Then I go on to the next. But if I don't, it's like here, of course, they don't do that, but I probably talked. If I don't pass third grade in India, if you haven't done well, they make you repeat third grade. They don't automatically. So similarly, life will give us tests. If you successfully pass it and you remain calm and you are not affected, and you are, then Bhagwan will say, okay, you can graduate to the next lesson. But if you don't learn, then the problem will keep coming. So if problems are coming to you, you have to look at it and say, what is it that Bhagwan wants to teach me? In this situation, what am I learning? And if you learn from the situation and you pass, okay, Bhagwan, okay, you get a certificate. Okay, you have done third grade. Now you can go to fourth grade. So use sorrow as a teaching tool that there is something. And especially if an individual comes who is a problem, then definitely there was some quality in me that was lacking, and that's why this individual has come. A lot of times we find that people who give us problems, why do they give us? Because we don't have patience. And if a person comes who irritates you, the whole idea is that there was some patience lacking in me. And so this individual has come as a teacher to teach me patience. Or whatever else, you know, tolerance, patience, calmness. So use pain as an opportunity to learn. Then Bhagwan uses three phrases that this person is Vita, Raga, Bhaya, Krodha. So he has no attachment, no fear, and no anger. Why do we use these three qualities? Because say I'm attached to something, I want it. And I'm all the time afraid. I may not get it. So that is fear. Or once I got it, I'm afraid I might lose it. It's like money. I want it. And say, if I don't have it, what will happen? And once I get, I hope the stock market doesn't go down. I hope Trump doesn't raise our taxes. So we have fear of losing it or fear of not getting it. And then anger, anybody that comes becomes an obstacle in this particular, say I want to marry a particular individual or I want some particular job or position, and whoever comes an obstacle in my path, I develop anger. So those three, attachment, fear, and anger. And then attachment includes so many other things, jealousy. I'm jealous of somebody who got more, pride. I'm proud of this person because I have it and this person doesn't have it. Selfishness, all those things come. I must get it. I must not let anybody have it. So all the negative qualities are covered in these three. So it's not limited to that, but this can go on and on into many. So does that mean that this person becomes a stone and, you know, there is joy? Okay, there's sorrow. Okay. Is that what Bhagwan is saying, that the man of wisdom is just a stone or a rock? No, he's not, and we'll deal that more in the next verse. But I just wanted to spend a little more thing talking about attachment. Best example is window shopping. See, here it's not like that, but in the East Coast, people go in the mall for walking. You know, they'll walk 3 miles, 4 miles, walk through the stores because it's too cold to walk outside. And so you'll walk through the store, and one place you'll see there's a 30% sale on a particular shirt or something. And two stores down, or half of, you know, half the way down, it's 25%. See, here is 25, there was 30. Wow, let me go back and buy it. So you turn around and you buy it. Why? Because tomorrow maybe the sale may not be there, or that object may sell out. You know, they say only few left, especially when you're buying airline tickets and only two left. That's how. So they use all these strategies to make you buy. In fact, the same guy owns both the stores, and one place he puts 30 and one place he puts 25, so that you go to the, in fact, not only that, but the same object is made in China. There is one guy making them all, and he says, what label you want? Lee? Okay, Lee. You want Levi's? Okay, Levi's. You want MK? Whatever label you want, whatever. It's the same guy. The purse, you know, we say, oh, Dooney Burke. Oh, it's all the same guy sitting there in China and putting labels. But we get so caught up in all this, you know, show and all that. So I have attachment. Why? Because tomorrow I may not get it. And, or if I buy it, and that's another thing, and I take it home, and my spouse says, why did you buy this? It doesn't look nice on you. Or you pay too much money, then you get anger. So fear and anger comes with attachment. Same thing in a corporation. You know, I have this idea, you know, I have this project, and that I want everybody. Then when I present it in a meeting, in the board meeting, I have fear, you know, people may not accept my idea, or they may say this is a useless idea because I am so attached to this because it's my idea. And if somebody opposes it, anger. Why is this person not letting me do it? So these three always go together, attachment, fear, and anger. And the problems, the pains that we have in our life, remember I said pain is a teacher. There are three kinds of pain that can come: adhyatmik, adhidaivik, and adhibhautik. That's why we say shanti, shanti, shanti three times. Why? Because there are three kinds of problems that can come in our life. One is adhidaivik, and that is coming from the elements. Daivik means from the devas, so from the elements like earthquake or floods or tornado or drought. You know, so problems that arise, like for a farmer, too much rain is a problem, no rain is a problem. So that is adhidaivik. Then adhibhautik is coming from my surroundings. So like my neighbor or my spouse, you know, 90% of problems come from the family. If you count in your life, how many because that's the person whom we are the closest with. We are constantly dealing with that person. It could be your spouse or your child or your mother or mother-in-law, or, you know, any of those, you know, relationships, adhibhautik. Or it could be from the surroundings, your neighbor, like your neighbor's dog comes and makes a mess on your lawn. Or it could be from the economy is not doing well, you know, the my job, I lost my job. So those are adhibhautik. And then the third and the most important is adhyatmik. So problems from nature, problems from surroundings, and problems from within. And those can be physical ill health, mental stress, or intellectual confusion. So these three problems come to all of us. So a wise person remains calm. That's why they say shanti, shanti, shanti. May there be peace in the surroundings. May there be peace in nature. Peace in the surroundings, and more important, may there be peace in my mind. That's why even before this class, we chant so that may there not be an earthquake or something that disturbs us. May there not be any disturbance around, you know, heat or cold or whatever, and may my mind be quiet when I am studying. So these are this verse number 56. And then 57 is kind of a continuation. And why does Bhagwan do that? So Swamiji Gurudev in his commentary says it very beautifully, Let's say there is an artist who is making a painting, and the artist sees that the yellow is little not dark enough. So he wants to make the yellow a little darker. He wants the blue, you know, it's not the correct shade. So just as an artist, when he's making his painting, he keeps adding more touches, you know, to make the painting more beautiful, to emphasize certain parts of the painting and etc., you know, to make the painting more beautiful, to emphasize certain parts of the painting and etc. So Bhagavan feels that this particular topic of equanimity is very, very important and needs more emphasis. So the next verse, 57, is hammering this same point